Here tonight again as we gather together as part of the family of God. Part of the family is not here tonight, but to all who are here, we invite you to turn to number 404, The Solid Rock, and let us stand together as we sing to the glory of our Lord. Standing together, 404. My hope is built on nothing less, together singing. Thank you, church. You may be seated. Pastor, come lead us in prayer.
All right. We have a busy weekend ahead of us, of course. First of all, Friday night, there's going to be a parade and then the homecoming game. But part of the parade deal is CCLC stands for what now? Allison, you can't play. Clarendon County or Clarendon Christian Learning Center. All right. And they are going to have a float in the parade because we have received approval to begin our process, and we plan to do that come 2016, hopefully in January. But they're going to be providing desserts and information, and desserts need to be here at the church Friday afternoon by 4 o'clock, and then it will magically find its way out to the booth all on its own. If it's not here at 4 o'clock and it comes later, then it needs to show up at the booth at what time? At 5 o'clock. So there you have it. If you make a dessert, we'd love to have you do that, and we hope we'll get a lot of good information out. And then Saturday, there's some little something going on. What is it y'all do on Saturday? Yeah, end gathering. Yeah, that little thing, end gathering. All right, so Saturday, end gathering, and then Sunday, the Bible conference starts. Dr. Gordon Reed's going to be with us. He's going to be looking, taking us through the book of Philippians, as I understand it, and kind of dealing with Christian living and expecting it's going to be very, very good. So if you haven't already done it, grab your phone and go to Sunday and mark out some time for Sunday morning and Sunday night. Then when you get done, go to Monday at 7 o'clock and block out another hour. Then do that on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then keep the calendar. Remember, I wonder, what would our calendars look like if God set our agendas? I don't know. Now, you might say, preacher, I don't think God wants me here at the Bible conference. And if that's what God says to you, don't come. I don't want you here either if God don't want you here. All right? But if God does want you here, Well, you work it out with the Lord. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be together in your place with your people and to sing praises to you and just be a part of your family. We thank you for the day that you've given us, a day that we can really just put out all that junk that's out there in the world, focus upon you, your love for us, your forgiveness, your mercy, your grace, all those wonderful things that you bring to our lives. And Lord, we pray that tomorrow when it shows up, when Monday comes, may we be prepared to go out there and stand strong and true to your calling that you've placed upon our lives. Because Lord, we believe in you and we know, Lord, that you have things that you want us to be a part of this week. And so Lord, use us to your glory. Again, Lord, we thank you for tonight. We pray for the events that are coming this weekend. We pray for the opportunity to share information about the Christian Learning Center Friday night. Lord, we pray that a lot of people come by and get dessert, but they'll leave with a whole lot more. That they'll leave not only with a little information, but even a burden to play a role in teaching the Bible to our children. And we pray for the end gathering. May it be a true day of celebration of you, Lord, what you've done through the church over the years and the way that you've always provided. And for the Lord, the way that you instill generosity in the hearts of your people here. And Lord, we just pray that it'd be a great day. And as we've already prayed, we continue to pray. Bless our dear brother. Bless Dr. Reed with the anointing and the power of your Holy Spirit. Man, when he comes, may he lead us right up to your throne. And truth is, may we shout glory, hallelujah to you, Lord, as you use him. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to invite you again to turn your hymn books to 297. Following this number, we'll have a special selection by Ann Grace and her sister Addie. And then following that special, Dr. Walls with the message of the word this evening. Number 297, standing together again, shifting our position, getting ready to hear from the word tonight. I love to tell the story singing together. Thank you, church. You may be seated. And Grace and Addie, come and share with us in song.
Rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. I will sing of the mercies that the Lord forever I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever I will sing. Of the mercies of the Lord. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting, leaning on the everlasting arms.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Thank you so much. Great job. Great job. All right. Now, how many of you were paying attention during the slide announcements this morning? All right. A few of you. Okay, because you don't want to lie in church. But if you were paying attention, then you know that I asked you to be prepared tonight to share some things at the beginning. That is, what is your favorite biblical story about faith and why it has always spoken to you? So, you are the introduction to the message, so have at it. Who wants to share your favorite biblical story about faith? All right, Ms. Kozak.
I love the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Okay.
And it's because their faith was not a worry to them at all. And it's like what the famous old hymn says, "It is well with my soul, whatever be my lot."
Uh-huh. Right.
So it has all the elements of the story happening and the great conquest and everything.
Absolutely. You just gotta love their line. Look, you know, you can throw us in and we may die, but it don't matter, right?
Right.
It don't matter. All right.
One way or the other.
Either way, that's right. Okay, thank you. Somebody else. Yes, Tom.
My favorite is Saul on the road to Damascus.
Okay. Okay, why is that one your favorite?
All right, there's a guy that went around, you know, rounding up Christians and hauling back so they could be nailed up on crosses for I don't know how long he did this, and then, you know, the light comes down, and from then on, he's one of the biggest, probably the most famous witness to Christ throughout the rest of the Bible.
All right, yeah, certainly God used him in a powerful way. Absolutely, okay, great. Somebody else? Okay, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's you know, I don't understand that story as a father. I don't. I love his faith. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
David and Goliath.
David and Goliath. Well, yeah, and everybody was, but
even his brothers had no faith.
That's right. That's right. And in fact, he was so small he couldn't wear Saul's armor because it was too big for him, you know. And still, I don't know about you, but don't you love the eagerness and the tenacity of the faith of the young? I mean, they just don't care. Giant out there, it don't matter. God's with me. I'm going out. They don't stop. When we get older, all of a sudden, we start playing this game. Ooh, that guy's awful big out there. But, you know, I love the eagerness of youth when it comes to faith and how that they're so willing to plug in and go. Okay, somebody else.
I like Esther and Mordecai.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Again, putting her life on the line, but in her faith, God came through. Absolutely.
I think the one of Peter was just a short period of time anyway. He had a faith to walk on the water.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else? Huh?
Joseph.
All right, Joseph. All right.
His family, his brothers pretty much sold him into slavery. And he still had faith in God.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Abraham.
Who?
I live by the sea. I just want him.
Oh, you? Okay. Abraham, too. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
He said a lamb will be provided.
A lamb will be provided. And God came through. Yeah. That's faith. Absolutely. Anybody else want to?
Along with what Martin shared, I felt very good about sharing. She took part of my story, but not all of it. Actually, along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there was a fourth young fellow involved by the name of Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile his body.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Generally, I think those two will run hand in hand a lot, faith and commitment. Absolutely. Anybody want to play on this side?
Can't help but think about Job. I mean, sometimes it's a little easier to have faith when you've got other Christians around you to support you and lift you up. But, you know, he had everybody reminding him of all the bad things he had going on in his life. Still, you know, and he had bad days too. You know,
still, yeah. And enough. Okay.
The redemption of Rahab.
Okay. You want to tell us a little more? There's some folks over here who don't even have any idea what you're talking about.
Well, she could have been put to death if she'd been caught for harboring
the spies. Really didn't know.
And then she was obedient even to the point of her death. And even though her family thought she was nuts,
mm-hmm.
and because of her faith and her courage, she and her family were spared.
Yeah.
And then she became a great lady of God.
You know, people that really walk by faith, for the most part, there's a lot of other people that think we're nuts, right? Because when you're walking by faith, it don't look very smart a lot of the time, does it? All right. Well, you guys hit on several. I mean, as I started to think, you know, when you try to narrow it down, because there's just so much to be, so many stories, really comes down to faith and how that faith plays out. And certainly, you know, I thought about Goliath and David and that youthful faith that I love. I thought about Peter walking on the water, and I thought, you know, I'd have been one of the 11 anyway. I mean, I'll be honest. You know, he may have sank, but I wouldn't have got out of the boat. So I always look at that and say, you know what? It may not have been as strong as it needed to be, but it was stronger than most. And it's like I applaud. I applaud the kind of faith that puts itself in a position to fail. I mean, for the most part, I think we just get play it way too safe. You know, we don't want to put ourselves on the line because we might fail, and so we never find the joy of that type of faithfulness. And then I thought, and this is one of my favorite ones, but it's not the one that I really keyed on tonight, but one of my favorite ones is the father that brings his son to Jesus for the boy to be healed, but first, when he first gets there, Jesus isn't around. And finally, Jesus comes walking up with Peter, James, and John, and the, it kind of goes, look, I brought my son to be healed, but your disciples couldn't heal him. And Jesus said, if you believe, everything's possible, those who believe. And the man made that most wonderful confession. He said, I believe, but help my unbelief. And I don't know about you, but man, I don't know how many times I've prayed that prayer. Yes, I believe in God. Yes, I believe, and I want to believe more than ever, but there are still those moments of doubt. And yet Jesus didn't punish that father. He didn't make him feel bad. He still healed his son. But one of the stories really that I tend to go back to involves Abraham, not so much with Isaac, but it's even before Isaac's born. It blows my mind when God comes to Abraham and says, I want you to pick up and I want you to pack up and I want you to leave your family and your friends and your country and I want you to take off, and he doesn't even tell Abraham where he's going. And you've heard me say before, you load the U-Haul and you say, okay, where am I going? And God says, don't worry about it, you just drive straight till I tell you to turn. I just keep thinking, wow, that's a faith that most people don't know about. But the truth is we need faith, and we know that we need faith because, well, quite frankly, in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We know that Jesus also told the disciples, have faith in God. We know that for grace are you saved through faith. And so faith is a player in our salvation. It's absolutely a player in our discipleship, which, you know, the discipleship is really comes down to what are we willing to do? How far are we willing to go when it comes to trusting God? And I really do understand the plea of the disciples. Remember when Jesus was talking to the disciples about forgiveness? First of all, understand the context of this. Jesus said, you know, they asked about how many times they had to forgive somebody. And they're thinking, you know, probably 2, 3, 4, or 5, you know, not too many times. And Jesus throws out this astronomical number to them, right? 70 times 7 or you know. And they're saying, Lord, increase our faith. If I got to forgive somebody like that, you're going to have to really give me a lot of faith. All right? But I understand the plea, right? Increase our faith. And that really needs to be a part of our prayer life. But that's a dangerous prayer to pray. I mean, it really is. Increase it. When do you need faith? How much faith did the disciples need when they were sitting in the boat, Mr. Maxey? How much faith did old Peter need when he was walking on the water? I'm thinking there's a difference, right? In the boat, not so much. Putting yourself at risk, Generally speaking, we need faith when things are out of our control. It's kind of like we love miracle stories, right? I mean, I love miracle stories, but the truth is you need a miracle when everything else is falling apart and there's no other place you can turn. You're out of hope. And you know if God doesn't come through, it's not going to happen. I mean, so it's one of those things. I love hearing miracle stories, but I don't like for my life to need a miracle. Because that means I'm in desperate situation. And yet our plea is, yes, Lord, increase our faith. Because we know that what God is going to not only do in us but through us is really to a large extent, going to be about our faith. And the stronger our faith is, then the more we know just how faithful God is to us. And there are just a ton of verses that talk about that. Deuteronomy, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to a thousand generations. 1 Kings, praise be to the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. Psalms 36, your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. 1 Corinthians, God who has called you into the fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. 1 Peter, so then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. 2 Thessalonians, but the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Hebrews chapter 10, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And there's a whole bunch more on this page I'm thinking that we're supposed to get this idea that God truly is faithful to us. And the more we know how faithful that God is to us, then the more we know that all things are possible. Just like he told the Father, look, if you believe, all things are possible. The more we know that God's faithful, then the more that we know that God is going to come through on all the promises, and there's a bunch of them in there. The more we know that God is faithful, we know that God's all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present. Look, faith opens up so very much to us. Yeah, faith got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace. Absolutely did. But God's faithfulness brought them out. See, and when it comes to faith, I'm glad it doesn't have to be perfect. You know, Peter's faith wasn't perfect. He sank, but you know what? He didn't drown that day. The Lord reached out and picked him up. You know, the man who brought his son to Jesus, his faith was absolutely not perfect, you know, but his son still got healed that day and believed. Yeah, our faith may not be everything that it's supposed to be. And I'm glad that it doesn't have to be perfect. Now, I think the Lord wants us growing in faith. I think the more we grow in the faith, the more exciting and amazing things that God will do in and around us. But I'm glad it doesn't always have to be perfect. I mean, God has been faithful to us no matter what. The question I think that we have to really deal with tonight is, we know that God has been faithful. Because there's a whole lot, y'all came up with all kinds of stories about how you saw that faithfulness played a major player in so many lives, and the scripture without doubt tells us how faithful God has been. The question is God still faithful today? See, that's what we got to decide. We've got to decide if God says load the U-Haul, are we going to load it? We've got to decide if God said, okay, take your one and only son up there and sacrifice him. We got to decide whether God's really going to provide a lamb or not. We've got to decide if our world has been rocked by all kinds of bad stuff, are we still going to believe in him like Joseph? We've got to decide, even though we may not know God nearly as well, is God worth trusting like Rahab trusted God? See, that's what we have to do. Because how we answer that question, I mean, is really going to make a huge difference in the way that we live. I mean, we see God's faithfulness in so many things, right? I think we see his faithfulness in the fact that God's consistent. He's not up or down with us. He always loves us. I love that part. You know, I think we see God's faithfulness in the promise of heaven. Regardless of how things work out, that we know that there is coming a day when we're going to be in his presence and it's going to be eternal. I mean, that's part of God's faithfulness. We believe in that. We believe in the kept promises. I mean, sure, sometimes we don't see the big picture. And that's where I think sometimes as Christians, we really have to slow down and think, you know, I don't see everything that's going on, so maybe I don't get it. There was a television commercial that was running in another part of the country. And the commercial went like this. There was a lady sitting in the car, and then out of the blue, this guy runs up to the car, grabs open the door, you know, slings the door open, grabs the woman, and starts dragging her out of the car. And, I mean, you know what that seems to be. That's not good, right? And then the camera spins back, and what they see is the car was on fire, but she didn't know it. And the caption or the commercial ended with these words: "You need the bigger picture. Channel 10 News gives you the bigger picture." All right? But the truth is, don't we need the bigger picture? And how many times do we wonder why things are, when God says, you know, just believe in me, just trust me. When you understand the bigger picture, you'll understand I'm not out there trying to hurt you, but to save you. See, God's faithfulness really answers the questions about whether we can cross over the Jordan River of our change, doesn't it? Because if God's leading and God's going to equip, that's part of God's faithfulness. We can trust God and we can cross over. Faithfulness will lead us to reach out and to really, really care about people. And reaching out is more than being burdened for people. That's a good start, but it's never enough just to know we ought to. Look, it's going to be us putting our lives on the line, following Jesus, really believing that he is going to allow us to become the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Because we're not either one without his presence in our lives. And I'm often amazed at some of the changes that some churches do. And again, you know, some churches do church on Friday and Saturday night now instead of Sunday morning. Some churches, many churches use projection. Some use different types of musical instruments. And you know, the only reason to do any of those things isn't because it's the neat thing to do or it's a change. The only reason to do anything or to make any change is simply to say, this is what God is leading us to do. But when we know what God wants us to do, then it takes faith. It takes the faith that will give us the courage to follow. Look, I don't know how things will look, you know, next week, next month, next year. But I do know it's going to take faith to get us where God wants us to be. I know that much. And I know God's going to be faithful to us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the way that your word, for the way that your Holy Spirit, just everything around us shouts how faithful that you are to us. And Lord, we come tonight and we pray that you would increase our faith, that you would allow us to move closer to you, that we would believe in you more than we've ever believed before. That, Lord, our eyes would be open, our ears open, our hearts open to your word and to your calling, to your leading, so that Lord we could follow where you lead us. For we believe in you, Lord, and we want Lord to be, well, we want to be a part of your kingdom that you're pleased with. So give us faith for this evening and give us faith for this week. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.